experience, I don't know, pain management, pain experience, which is like, it's so deep rooted into historical patriarchal views of this idea that women are typically more emotional and hysterical, and it's because of their uteruses.
Oh.
And it's, I remember when I found this out, I thought this was crazy, because you look at hysterectomies, which is obviously removing the womb, uterus, the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, basically all the reproductive organs. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called a hysterectomy is because it comes from the word hysteria, which you've put in here, is derived from the Greek word
uterus.
Hystera, which means uterus, which basically, back in the day, they were like, oh, the reason women are so emotional is because it's all rooted from the uterus.
Oh, yes.
So if we remove the uterus, they will no longer be hysterical and emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Because that makes so much sense.
They believe that the uterus, that it was a medical condition just for women, and that their uterus was wandering, so they had to get rid of it.
Yeah. And it's like, when you're looking at all of these people that are talking about the reproductive, like, pains that women go through, and they relate it all to, like, people being crazy, people being mad, and that's still to current day. Like, this article was from, like, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2019. That's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
That's such an outdated view that you would have thought we would have moved past, because science has advanced, that we know our emotional states are not coming from the uterus.
Exactly.
And
it's even words like, I think people nowadays still say, like, oh, this girl is crazy, or my ex was crazy. And it always,
she was psycho.
First. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a man is crazy. It's never, oh, my boyfriend was crazy. I rarely hear that.
Yeah. And it's like this thing, there was a quote saying, it's one of the researchers said that she was shown how endometriosis patients are often viewed by their treating doctors as, quote, reproductive bodies with hysterical tendencies.
That's
how they viewed female patients with endometriosis.
Wow.
Not only just the hysterical tendencies, but the fact that they're referring to women as just reproductive bodies. And that's such a common theme in research, of that women were just seen as reproductive bodies. Like, you look way back. It was one of the articles I think you attached, and it was saying, it's like, you look way back, and it's saying about how women were just viewed as reproductive bodies, so they weren't worth researching.
Exactly.
Because they were just reproductive bodies. Like, their heads were smaller, so they weren't as smart, so we did not need to research them. And it's like, as a society, we literally know less about every aspect of female biology compared to male biology.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we're given the same medications, we're given the same treatment, we're expected to respond in the exact same ways.
Exactly. And then we're just told to suck it up if we don't respond. If we don't respond to the pain.
Yeah. So it's just as much, like, biological as it is societal. I mean, I've got, like, so much on it being societal, of, like, the gender bias being rooted so much in the healthcare system from years ago, and the fact that it's not being addressed, it's not being changed, it's not being talked about, we're just leaving it.
Oh, as completely. Is. Even today, there is basic life support training, and there's lots of CPR training that all lay people can do, but there are still parts of health knowledge that are still affected by this gender bias. So we were talking before the show about heart attacks in women versus men, because they are completely, not completely different, but the symptoms are always different in women than men, and that they go unnoticed. So for heart attacks in general, people normally just get taught and think that, oh, it's like a sudden, very sharp chest pain, and you'll be able to tell they're clutching their chest and they're in pain. But that is actually primarily for men and males. But on the other hand, women are much less likely to be noticed for if they're having a heart attack, because it actually is shown for heart attacks for them is that it's more of a milder chest discomfort or a pressure. But it also comes with other symptoms like shortness of breath or nausea, vomiting, fatigue, anxiety that you can't really see. And we've all just been trained just to see that sudden chest pain. And so we are not saving as many women who are having heart attacks.
Mm-hmm. It says, like, I heard from the British Heart Foundation in 2016, they said women have a 50% higher chance than men of receiving the wrong initial diagnosis when it comes to a heart attack.
Holy.
And it's like, it's also amplified by the media. If you look at, like, TV shows or anything that have a heart attack scene in it or something, whether it's a male or female person that's having the heart attack, it's always just quick clutch the chest, yeah, fall to the floor.
Exactly.
So you're amplifying it in the media into thinking, right, so that's, if I'm having a heart attack, that's how it's going to be, so I'll know when I'm having a heart attack.
Exactly. And it's just all based on how a man will have a heart attack. So this just means not good news for women as a whole.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah.
It's also, like, I feel like the heart attack one, it's spoken about a lot now. A lot of people are aware that there's different symptoms for women and men in heart attacks. And for me, I'm like, so if it's spoken about a lot, because I knew this for quite a while now. My mom knew it. I feel like a lot of my friends knew it. And so it's like, if we all know it, why is it that the medical system has statistics that they're still getting misdiagnosed so much?
Exactly. More?
If we're all talking about it and heart attacks is like the really common one of where there is very clear difference in symptoms, why is there still such a high statistic?
Yeah, it's all talk, no action once again.
Yeah, once again.
Once again. But there is some action. We are making steps as a society very, very slowly. Better than the 90s, at least. But yeah, there's just lots of problems with our health knowledge in our medical system that we need to address. And especially the research that is conducted now that needs to be more inclusive for women as a whole. For example, back to the study from Dr. McCullough, the neurologist from the UBC Research Day. She has looked at stroke studies, and she has found that there are less women who are in these studies as participants because stroke studies have eligibility to participate, and women don't make certain cutoffs due to their age or risk factors compared to men. And I find it just very, the whole situation is just very interesting. That even things in, like, research, what am I trying to say here?
If you've lost your train of thought, one thing that really reminds me of, saying that women don't make certain cutoffs due to age or risk factors compared to men, not related to health necessarily, but it really reminds me of I remember reading stuff when I was probably first starting out in sociology, so like 16, 17, about how women sometimes are less likely to meet certain cutoffs when it comes to employment due to fear that they will need the maternity leave from pregnancy and childbearing. If they hadn't had kids, it would be like expected of them that they'll be having kids at some point. So employers are looking at that and it's like, oh, they're going to need paternity leave and they're going to be gone for X, Y, Z amount of time and we're going to have to find a replacement for that period of time and it's going to cost a lot of money. Things like that. So that reminds me of that, where it's another thing of, like, this viewpoint of, like, women are, one, are expected to have kids, too. But, like, the fact that it's so much of an inconvenience if they do. But also it's our biological duty to have children.
Oh, yeah.
In quotation marks there. That's just, like, what that reminds me of, is that women don't make certain cutoffs, like, due to age. So if they're saying, oh, if they're in their, like, late 20s, early 30s, and they don't have kids yet, expect they might be having kids soon. Because that's what is expected of them.
Yeah, there are certain cutoffs as well for eligibility. Even in research now, that you can't participate if you are pregnant or going to be, or recently pregnant. I mean, for good reason, but that also is just another barrier to why we have less women who are researched because of, I guess, our biological pregnancy future.
Yeah. So. Also, I guess, like, with all the hormone levels, like, one, like, when you're pregnant, your hormone levels are going all over the place. When you've given birth, your hormone levels are going all over the place again. That is an extended period of time where you essentially would be like, I can't research women because their hormone levels are too sporadic because of an extenuating variable,
right,
that it wouldn't be the most reliable research to do. Mm-hmm. Which still, it's just kind of like, you kind of understand it in that aspect, but...
Yeah, that's when back to those researchers who said that those female mice are too complex to study.
We're just too complex, man.
We are just too complicated. But yeah, it's something that we all need to work on, and especially just having more female researchers as well who are conducting the research is great. Definitely push for that. And as well for funding... there are still jokes being made about how there's still barely any funding for seeing just advocating for women in research and conducting research on the differences like this. But those are my final thoughts about this.
Yeah. My final rules is our healthcare system needs to be changed.
Oh, believe me, it is bad.
It needs to be changed.
It is to be changed. Yeah. Not just gender. We got so many issues. Emergency room, parking. Those are all topics for another day, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is our little rundown of the biases, gender biases in the medical system. Little statistics. Some statistics I've never... actually didn't know about before, about gender differences in pain. So I guess now bragging rights that women are more able to, I guess, even though we emotionally yell out pain, that we experience more pain. So
we handle a lot more pain.
And we can handle more pain, so.
I don't know if that's a flex or
not. No, it's not really a flex. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
That's not really.
But yeah, so we are gonna go back into the music for the rest of the hour before we start our second topic, which will be on sociologic, and I will be switching my name so you might know my actual name.
Oh my god. I think also, like, when you've featured on the start of sociologic, I've only ever referenced you as DJ Coco from Slumber Party.
Yeah,
so yeah,
I'll have to get my new name.
Your new name.
Let's see, we actually have lots of music that I don't know if we'll have enough time to play. We might. I'm going to do one more Men I Trust song because I've been loving this album. So I'm just going to blast you with some more Equus Caballus, which is Men I Trust's newest album. And this song is called Where I Sit. So enjoy.
Been through worse before. Make it.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I am joined by
DJ Rockstar.
DJ Rockstar. That last song you just heard, let me go find that. I believe it's by La Lune, and the song is called Are We Over It Yet? From their newest album, Everything is an Eternal Circle, and it repeats and repeats itself. So, hope you enjoyed that one. Just wanted to come back on and give our goodbyes, because this is nearing the top of the hour, and we're very sad to leave, but we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a very big goodbye.
Oh, yeah. 5 minutes for Sociologic, which is usually starring Rebecca and Kaylin, but Kaylin is away for the summer, so I am actually subbing in tonight.
Yeah.
And we'll be discussing pretty interesting topic.
Yeah, we're not going to reveal it yet. You have to wait five minutes.
Wait for 5 minutes. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I will most actually not likely see you next week. I think I have something planned, so there might be a pre-recorded episode next week. But I know the horrors, but we'll see. But yeah, thank you once again. We are going to play the last song here for you, which is, the Kunamaze song?
Yes, okay. It is.
It is called Scraps and Pieces by Kunamaze, and from the album Layers. So I think this is a little more jazzy, a little electronic, but we'll end it off here.
And thank you so much for having me on Slumber Party. No, I've enjoyed my experience as a DJ.
I have enjoyed your presence, DJ Rockstar.
Amazing.
Okay.